So with the arcana, what you're really moving into is not so much, I mean, there's a lot in terms of doctrinal subjects and all of that. That's all there. But it is very much more process unfolding in its form. So you have this sequential kind of progression that's found as what is more interior is being made more explicit through the unpacking of the scriptural side of things. So just in terms of getting hold of that, the whole thing is about mental processes that are involved in the regeneration of the human mind as truth comes to impact on it. So that's what you're dealing with. So everything in the text is in us, the whole kit and caboodle, if you like. So Pharaoh is an aspect of ourselves or an aspect of our inner world, as are the sons of Israel, as are the Egyptians that harass them. Like, these are all describing states of mind or mental states that become active as we engage in the work of self-examination and repentance. And that's seen in the fact that as truths increase, represented by the sons of Israel, so the opposition to them does. And that's not because the opposition have just turned up. They've always been there. What it is that with an increase in understanding and the capacity to discriminate in our own inner world, we start to see things as they actually are, and what opposes the spiritual life starts coming to the fore. So it's the power of discrimination that looks like, or is described here as, an infestation. So it's not that these things are newly arising, they're just new insofar as our awareness of them is concerned. So just by way of a few definitions, so church in its interior sense has to do with that aspect that is more aware of being in the process of regeneration. So church is built upon our understanding of the word, our own church. So church is a structure of the mind that is more interior to Egypt, which represents a more external structure, mental structure, which has to do with the level of memory, whereas the church has to do with the activity and building up of what is good and true. So these are different parts of our mind, and they correspond to psychological states. So terms are also used to describe their opposites. So it's also there's a descriptions of a church being vastated, completely destroyed. And that's not really a church any longer, but the term may still be used in relation to it. But in general terms, this is about the building up of the spiritual church. So that term spiritual has to do with the things of the understanding, whereas a celestial, as a comparison, has to do with the things of the will. And what the focus here is on how the understanding is built up into a church so that a new will can be implanted in our love for what is good and true. And this phrase, the good of charity, which comes up a fair bit in this, charity in the work charity, it states that the first of charity is to shun evils as sins against the Lord. So charity is the practice of the word. The good of charity is responding to truths, responding to our understanding of truths in order to examine the quality of what's arising within our mental life. So it is that which allows for discriminating what is good versus what is evil, what is false versus what is true. That's the good of charity. So if you think about that, all terms like the good of charity, the good of love, the good of faith, like you have these terms that are spoken about, the good is what that produces. And it will always be in relation to the regeneration of the human mind or the salvation of the human race. That's what is good from the highest perspective, from the Lord's perspective, because that's what the writings talk about, is that the Lord's love is a love for the salvation of the human race. And that's all that's flowing forth from the divine. And so all good has to be related to that. You know, the rise of Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. So the whole of the Genesis story leading up to this point was about Joseph coming into Egypt, and he represents what is more interior, like what is of a high spiritual quality that's there organizing and setting in place the things of Egypt, the things of the mind, the things of the memory. They're all being laid out. And then what you have at the point of Exodus is that you have Joseph dies, his brethren and all that generation. And what that represents is an indrawing of that sense of the presence of the Lord in the midst of everything. So that's kind of being withdrawn in a sense. And in Exodus, there is a need for the exposure of what has not yet been dealt with, represented by Pharaoh. So in this sense, you can think about it as that the state that's represented by Genesis, there's a sense of a loss of meaning now that's coming upon us, as all transitions of state, they have some aspect of a loss of meaning and a need to engage in a search. And so what you have is that that search starts producing more truths, which they multiply, but it also produces insight into the proprium, which is represented by the infestation element. And Pharaoh is the ruling principle, the love of self, love of the world, that arises and starts to take over our life. And what starts to happen then is that the sons of Israel start serving the natural. So they have to build the cities and make bricks and, you know, not be given straw. And so there's this kind of, this is an inversion of things. And it's basically about how the proprium seeks to keep under its thumb anything that could threaten its dominance within our life.